looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Political Talk with Michael and Mary Beth. And here we are, another Thursday night.
Newsy.
Fashionably late.
Yes.
Be changing our time to 8 o'clock at night on Thursday nights now, from now on.
That gives me plenty of time to get done what I need to get done when I get home.
Makes us not late. Oh, man. Well, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news this week. A lot of stuff going on everywhere.
Yep.
It's been kind of crazy. Crazy week. You got something to start us off with over there?
Yes, I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional is called Baking Powder. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's from Luke 12, 1. Beware of hypocrisy. It is blinding and very subtle. Jesus likened it to what we commonly call baking powder, which is the leavening agent used in baking. Leaven puffs up, and that perfectly described the Pharisees. They refused to look into the mirror of the law to see what they looked like in truth, so they became inflated in their self-righteous conceit. They were proud of their appearance, their flowing robes, their flowing prayers, and how money flowed publicly from their hands into the treasury. When the law is used correctly, it strips us of our so-called righteousness, leaving us morally broken and humble before God. It shows us that our robes should be made of sackcloth, and our prayers should be discreet, and our giving should be done in secret. The moral law not only brings us to the foot of the cross in humility, but it also keeps us there. It's the demands of the law that keep us trusting in the grace of God in Christ rather than being swollen with pride. The soul search tonight is, do I tremble at the law I spurned? As the hymn writer says, is there pride anywhere in my life? And the prayer tonight, Father, thank you for saving me from the wrath of eternal justice.
Amen. Well, tonight we're going to continue on with our little short series, four-week series we're doing on grace. And tonight we're going to be going over humility brings a greater grace.
Well, so, then I guess that fit right in.
Yep. So you are going to want to have your Bible ready tonight. I will just tell you that.
Break it down.
You know, we're going to explore the surprising connection between God's grace and humility, along with the great enemy of God's grace, human pride. So, kind of fits in, huh?
Sure does.
You ready to roll into some news?
Oh, goodness, it's so depressing, but yes.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news. What's on a lot of people's minds tonight is what happened in Maine.
Scary.
Yesterday evening. And 19 minutes ago, story broke. Law enforcement yells, you are under arrest, hands in the air, at residence connected to Robert Card. They yelled over a bullhorn, you are under arrest, hands in the air. We would like to speak to you. Walk in front of the truck with nothing in your hands. We want to do this safely for you and everyone else. Law enforcement officers could be heard yelling. Officers specifically shouted Robert's name. So the incident happened in a location connected to Card in Bowdoin, Maine. So they had previously left before coming back a short time later. So it looks like he maybe may have been found.
Well, I hope so.
So
you can't just murder 18 people and disappear off the face of the earth.
Well, that just popped up. So hopefully we can find out that that is indeed that he has been arrested. But it certainly by the looks of it and by what I'm reading here, it seems that he has been.
I'll tell you, you know, this morning that was, this whole week and weeks before, it's all been about, you know, what's been going on in Israel.
Yep.
And now this has happened. And I mean, in such an unsuspecting area, as I understand, it's a very small town. And, you know, it makes you kind of wonder what the reasoning behind this mass shooting is, which I'm sure will come out in days to come. But I'm
sure it will.
I'm hoping it's not somehow related to what's going on in Israel.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it's not, because if it is, that's going to be another very sad thing there, right?
And very polarizing. You know, our country doesn't need anything else to further polarize the people.
No, it doesn't.
We have way too many issues of our own, and, you know, it's just not, it's not something that I think America's ready for again.
And we're kind of on information overload right now, as it is anyway, right?
Absolutely.
With a lot of the things that are going on, it definitely seems like there are definitely some things happening that, for the lack of a better term, could use, I don't know, a little more explanation.
Yeah.
I was trying to find something here just a second ago. There was some very interesting news on other shiny objects that's kind of popped out.
Oh, yes.
And this concerns details on massive payments to Joe Biden and family, somewhere around $20 million from foreign.
That's a nice little sources. Coin. That's a nice coin right there.
And it has links directly to the family, and they're asking questions and demanding answers, as well as we should, because, you know, right now there's so much going on. You've got people like the Jamal Bowman, the one who pulled the fire alarm right before the vote, that
right.
He was, you know, that was a mistake. He couldn't get in the door,
mm-hmm.
But yet he pleads guilty to, after being charged with falsely setting off a firearm system.
Right.
That along with other things, I mean, there's so much going on, and there's so much things going on in the news where you hear people, just the other day, I can't remember all the details, but about the pilot who was just boarding with other pilots. He was in the jump seat. They were, you know, carrying him back, and he tried to grab the controls of the plane and crash the plane.
Yeah, he was a little wackadoo.
You know, you got things like that going on. You got the things like this mass shooting going on. You've got another where they recently found a fugitive dead in a heavily wooded area days after allegedly killing a judge at his home.
That's nice.
Did you hear about that?
I did not. But I'm seeing your screen.
Yeah.
And you had, if you'll scroll up just a little bit.
Yeah.
No, the other way. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah.
There was something that was down here that said, there it is. GOP and Dem lawmakers back bill to crack down on college anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Maybe they should start with themselves.
Yeah. Well, the squad is coming under some heavy scrutiny right now for being, I guess, for everything that the other side is doing. I'm trying to be nice about it. But.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm sorry, but that headline just really rubs me the wrong way because, you know, when you're allowing people like the squad to feel like they can say that against a group of people, but by the same token, you know, when it was all like white privilege, Black Lives Matter, oh yeah, they were right there in the forefront. You know, you can't say that. You can't do that. So why is it okay for them to be for Hamas and against Israel when it is well known that our country supports Israel? and to actually have opinions that are anti-Semitism, you know, where they actually literally say stuff. And, wow, that's just ridiculous.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Squad Dems under fire for refusing to vote to condemn Hamas terror. Complete disgrace. That's exactly the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, we have a new speaker in the House now who is also getting ready to get to work, right?
Right.
They're saying the honeymoon is canceled for him. He's got five dilemmas that he needs to tackle.
Well, you know, I hope that he is really kind of a slap in the mouth for the government right now.
Well, he's taking the reins from Patrick Henry, you know, from the interim speaker. And, you know, they're saying he's kind of inherited a packed docket, right?
Of course.
Includes funding deadlines and things like that.
I like this little granny lady down here.
Yeah. There are appropriation bills that need to pass through Congress. There are, you know, government is funded until mid-November. And failure to get appropriate legislation across the finish line could lead to a government shutdown. Unless somebody pulls the alarm again, right?
Well, you know, it's so funny because, I understand why they need to agree on that and why they need to get it together for keeping the government up and running. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, it's like, maybe they should just go down for a week or two and we don't have to deal with any of this stuff. But, you know, that's not the answer either.
Well, he said the first bill that he's going to bring to the floor will be the support of Israel.
Our dear, dear friend, Israel.
Yep. And we're overdue in getting that done. Johnson said it is an acceptance speech for the speakership.
Well, he's right about that.
You know, funding for Israel is one of the big ticket items entering appropriation season, and we'll likely see a fight from progressives in the House. That's what they're saying.
Well,
and they've called for the aid to be cut off, and those progressives would be the Squad.
I would rather support the fight in Israel than allow people in this country to take advantage of and live off the government, off our tax dollars, because with the way that things have gone up in price, you know, people who work hard, who bring home money, and you have to, you know, divide it up to get your bills paid and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people who are walking around with a buggy and a half of groceries that rings up to over $400, which I was behind this person, and they pulled out their EBT card, and I about had a stroke.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, here I am, buying, like, pasta, rice, things that are filling, but things that aren't as expensive, and they're buying steaks, and just ridiculous.
Yep. So, here's something. Comer is demanding White House to provide records to prove a $200,000 payment to Biden from his brother was a loan.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, they're saying James Biden, the president's brother, gave him a check in 2018 for $200,000 and labeled it as a loan repayment.
Oh.
Well, you know, I could write a check for $1 million and say it's for my dear little piggy. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean it's true.
But it just makes me think about it because, you know, I told you that recently what I had left on my student loans was paid or forgiven or whatever that looks like. I never asked anybody to do that. You know, I didn't expect the government to do it. I didn't want them to do it, but they did do it.
But it's not like it was like fresh 100 grand.
No, but I'm thinking
in college debt either.
But I'm thinking maybe James Biden was like, "Here's my $200K. I'm kicking that into the pot."
There you go.
Might as well have said that. You know.
You know that is definitely a paper trail, and you know, so those are the things that they're starting to look at, and those are the things that they're going to be digging in on, and. you know, with everything that's still continuing to going on in Israel, wow. I mean, you know, the ground incursions going on, and, you know, we're still, Iran is now threatening the U.S. for involvement what they call a genocide against you know, the Palestinians.
Yep. Nope. I don't agree with that. But then again, I wouldn't trust anybody that's coming from that background right now and saying boo to a goose.
Yeah, it's wow. You know, it's funny. There was a story that said Hamas and Hezbollah leaders meet in Beirut to plot war against Israel. So they're meeting, you know, in Beirut. So who does it say they're standing for?
But
right.
But here we are. But they're not doing anything.
No,
they're not making war. They're not making plans to take over Israel. No, it's those Israelites that are over there, and they're being all mean. Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you, right?
Shame on you, Israel. You genocidal killers.
It's no. Mm-mm. You know, there. It's interesting that Netanyahu is calling the war on Hamas a test for all humanity.
I believe that.
You know, it's as soldiers stand ready, he's calling it a test for all humanity. And it was interesting. I'd seen this story earlier, you know, nearly 3 weeks into the war. And it's still going on with the fate of more than 200 hostages, you know, still in balance.
That number is there, but nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Israeli Defense Forces conducted a raid into northern Gaza Strip, and they struck a number of Hamas targets. And they said in order to prepare for the battlefield for the next stage of combat.
They laid down the smack.
Yeah. And on the ground, many soldiers are ready, you know, as far as why we're not operating. I don't know why, said Master Sergeant Doran Kadar. There's rumors because the cabinet, the prime minister, you know, I don't care. As far as the military is concerned, we are ready and we are prepped. We've been trained. We've been overtraining and we have been honing in on our tactics. So they are definitely ready. And there are reports that Israel's delaying the ground invasion while the U.S. moves more resources into the region to deter a widening war.
Well, I would think so because, you know, we still got the biggest guns.
Well, given that, you know, last week we were talking about them shooting down missiles being fired from Qatar, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So all of that is still going on.
I would think that Qatar would be like, okay, we're going to back this trolley up and go our merry way.
Very much. So to find somebody for their thoughts, it's kind of Orwellian, right?
That's just weird.
So UK police target a praying woman again.
That's interesting.
And it shows there's some video footage that shows an officer employed by the West Midlands Police investigating the thoughts of a Christian standing still while silently praying within an abortion buffer zone. So she's praying within an abortion buffer zone, and they're basically going after her.
Hey, UK, back off.
Well, she's been vindicated twice for having committed no crime after she silently prayed inside the abortion buffer zone.
Well, you know, if she's not doing something that's against the law, and as far as I know, religion is still free there.
Yep.
Back off.
Well, the video shows that she's talking to an officer and saying she was not participating in protest. There's no prohibition on being merely present in the zone. You know, they said in a statement, but the police officer asked her if she was silently praying for unborn children and if she was a member of the pro-life or pro-choice organization. You know, that's what the law firm is saying. So, asking her these things.
I feel like I'm under no obligation to tell you what I'm doing.
Well, she said she received a notice of a fine, but the Birmingham Council later said it would not impose the fine on this occasion, but issued a warning that it would not do so in the future.
Oh, UK, UK, UK.
So
this is not where you want to have one of those line in the sand moments. This is not that. This is not that, that battle. Don't do that.
But I find it interesting, you know, that all of these things are just going on and on and on and on in the world.
Like, America's already been settled. We already had that war with England. you're gonna make more people come over here.
Right. But here's one of those happy kind of stories, right?
Okay.
Here's one for you. 3,000 teens pack a high school stadium to seek God. So more than 3,000 teenagers packed out an Arkansas high school football stadium to pray, read God's word, and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in their community. And these are students from Lakeside High School in Hot Springs that participated in a gathering organized by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, mm-hmm. called Fields of Faith.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
That's huge.
I think that's great. You know, I'm not as shocked to hear where it is as I thought I would be. I mean, if they were saying something like it was in New York or California, I'd probably be laying on the floor about now like, oh, what?
Like, ooh, really?
Because that would really tell me that the tide has turned.
Really. And there are, there was another one where, wasn't sure where this one happened, but there was hundreds of people rushed to the altar at free chapel services to get right with God.
Gainesville, Georgia.
Yep. So that was right down the road.
Yep.
You know, that hundreds of people packed the altar, of a free chapel church seeking forgiveness, healing, and rededicating their lives to Jesus Christ.
Which makes me wonder, you know, I mean, I think it's great and everything, but what is actually the trigger in sending all these people, you know, running to a church that haven't been there?
Well, I think the catalyst is the world's kind of going crazy around them and they don't know, but I think more people are seeking answers and they're going to the right place to find the answers.
Maybe so. That would be awesome.
This was a two-night revival service that began Monday night, and is now it headed into its third night, Wednesday night. They said the Spirit is moving, and it's a powerful move of God. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
It, you know, more and more places need to, and more states and areas need to see something like this happening. And then over in Florida, the governor there has ordered state universities to disband pro-Palestine groups for supporting terrorism.
Hmm. I don't know how I feel about that one. I mean, I realize what I've said earlier, and that still holds true. But as long as America is America, people are free to protest whatever they want, as long as it's not a dangerous protest. I mean, people can, we've got people from all over the place that live in this country. And, you know, that doesn't mean bad behavior should be recognized and applauded.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean we have to like it. Nope. But it still exists as long as there is freedom of speech.
Yep, it does.
It does exist. And, you know, if they weren't so vocal and they weren't casting aspersions on other people and wishing ill for other people, that'd be one thing. But that's exactly what they're doing. So in that respect, I can see why DeSantis would do that.
Right.
But it's hard when you see both sides of that issue, that equation, and it doesn't sit well right with you, but you know that that is what this country is based on.
Right. Do you see this story?
Oh, That's interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, a conservative group at Clemson University has succeeded in its effort. I guess they were trying to make sure that the bathrooms stay separate, male and female, which is a good thing. But they were trying to remove women's products from the men's bathrooms across the campus. So
lady products.
I'm not sure
why, for the monthly thing,
why they had those in there, but that was just in a Christian news cycle to see something like that.
That's hilarious that happened at Clemson, because that's where I went and I could totally see that happening. But I mean, it's scary that they were there in the first place.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a new, not a brave new world, it's just a weird new world.
Right.
Where we are running into things where you actually have to consider that.
Well, you know, I'm seeing a lot of news articles too in the religious papers about Republicans picking the House Speaker, who is a Bible believing House believer.
Well, I hope he's vocal about it.
He is an evangelical Christian who is being described as a staunch conservative, and he's clearly got the support of the majority of Republicans. So, kudos. You know, let's start affecting change. Hopefully we can affect more change, but, you know, it's got to start somewhere, right?
I'm telling you.
Got to start somewhere.
I'm telling you, I would never do this, but if I were to ever run for office, I would just be like, y'all better stand back because here it comes. But I mean, I would never do that because of the invasion of privacy and how they go through your life with a fine tooth comb. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You don't really want to know what I was doing when I was 20 years old, do you?
Nope. You ready to jump into some learning?
Of course.
Of course. Here we go. It's time to learn. It's time for the message. All right, as I said at the beginning of the show, this week we will explore the surprising connection between God's grace and humility, along with the great enemy of God's grace, human pride. So I also said, I hope you're ready to examine a lot of scripture tonight, because it's getting ready to go down. And, you know, in my earliest years, I remember second grade distinctly because the character theme 1 month was humility. And at the end of that month, in an assembly before the entire school, I was named the winner of the humility award, but then they took it away from me because I actually accepted the award. No, okay, perhaps that story's not true, but it does illustrate the conflicting ideas Christians entertain regarding what it means to be humble. So where do we get our ideas about humility? If God gives grace to the humble, how can I eagerly pursue his best for me without falling into mere self-interest? Both Peter and James quoted the Old Testament, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. They latched onto this teaching from Proverbs 3:34, and it must be important. First, it tells us that God's grace, you know, is fair enough. Isn't that what God's supposed to do? But this verse also tells us that God's grace to, you know, gives grace to certain kinds of people, humble people. And finally, it also tells us that God can withhold grace from another kind of people, the proud. Keep in mind that Peter and James were both writing to believers. So three times in scriptures, the scripture reminds us God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The first is in Proverbs 3:34. The second is in James 4:6. And the third is in 1 Peter 5:5. This means there's a link between humility and grace. When the father sees his children willing to take the low place in the family, he pours out a special portion of grace to strengthen us in service to one another. Humility draws the blessing and favor of God. The same one who you know, stripped to the waist and washed the feet of his disciples, we'll rejoice when we learn to prefer one another. So, on four separate occasions, Jesus employs this phrase, the one who humbles himself will be exalted. These passages are not simply repetition caused by the specific gospels retelling the same story. Each passage is unique. Matthew 18:4, Matthew 23:12, Luke 14:11, and Luke 18:14. So four times Jesus lays out the challenge, humble yourself, and by grace God will exalt you. But how? So we need to embrace dependency. Matthew 18:1-4, lay aside dreams of greatness and embrace dreams of dependency. This is the highway of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that among men there was none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the person who was the least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John. Living in the kingdom requires God's intervention every day. We cannot make the kingdom happen. We can only proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is breaking in, and then depending on him to invade the ordinary with his presence and power. We also need to find joy in serving. Matthew 23:1-12, lay aside the thrill of recognition and find the joy of serving. If we're honest, we will recognize ourselves in the people Jesus described, those who strive for recognition by the way they dress or where they park or by their titles they hold. It is thrilling to be noticed, to be selected from among the crowd for recognition. Meanwhile, the servants come and go in the midst of all the clamor, quietly attending to the master's business. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reveals that the Father is the one who sees in secret. We need to seek to honor others. Luke 14:7-14, lay aside the thirst for honor from others and seek to honor others instead. In fact, Jesus tells us to honor those who cannot repay us. True, there is a time of reckoning and a time to receive repayment, but it is not here and now. It is later. Can we delay gratification, or does our thirst drive us to be satisfied now? We also need to depend on God's mercy. From Luke 18:9-14, lay aside self-assessment and depend on God's mercy. Jesus draws a picture of two men at prayer. The first man begins his prayer with thank you, but quickly tallies up the score of the game he has been playing. He has been keeping score all along and reminds God that he is the winner. The other man starts, you know, with God's mercy instead of self-assessment. Scorekeeping and judgment belong to God. Let's be careful. If we have a measuring stick, we will eventually be asked to stand next up to it. We also need to talk about God's grace in the Old Testament. Are there any limits to human wickedness? You think there are?
No.
So imagine a man who practices witchcraft and seances and fortune telling and necromancy. Picture him engaged in human sacrifice by burning his own children on altars of fire. Give him nationwide authority and influence so that he not only practices these things, but encourages and trains others to do the same. Now, if there's room left in your imagination, envision this man finding a way to win God's affection. Buried deep in the Chronicles of Israel is a story of a despicable king guilty of such things, yet he captured the Father's grace and mercy by humbling himself before God. His name is Manasseh. You can read about him in 2 Chronicles 33. In the space of one chapter, King Manasseh was transformed from a man who provoked God to anger to one who caught God's attention because of his humble heart. There's a lesson for every student of Jesus, if not that Manasseh simply experienced God's mercy, he provoked it. The Father loves humility. It turns his head. Jesus tried again and again to share this secret pathway to God's heart. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus demonstrated humility as he lived in the low place of Israel society, right? He portrayed children as exemplars of humble trust in the Father's care. He derided self-sufficiency. Humility is an expression of truth and integrity. People intuitively hunger for humility in their spiritual and political leaders. All over the world, people enter search phrases like, how to be humble like Jesus, and how do we humble ourselves before God? Their hearts are hungry to find peace offered by humility. There's a beauty in the humble way. Humility is the sail that captures the grace and mercy of God. His ear is tuned to hear the weakest words of a humbled heart. In King Manasseh's story, we find hope for everyone who has ever wondered if they could possibly grab God's attention. Here are four sure lessons from Manasseh, 2 Chronicles 33, for those whose hearts are inclined. Even in the midst of gross iniquity, God is still speaking from verse 10. Even after a long list of rebellious acts against God, the text reveals that God was still reaching out to Manasseh. If you've been told that God hides from your sin, you've been misled. Our sin is one of the very reasons God continues to reach out to us. He loves us and refuses to give up on us. But if it's not just that love, it's his love that reaches down, a humble heart reaches up. God knows how to humble us from verse 11. There's a massive difference between being humbled by the Almighty and humbling yourself before him. God may arrange circumstances that bring us low in the eyes of others, but only we can lower ourselves before God. He can extend severe mercy, but we remain in control of our own thoughts and hearts. Our hearts can move God's heart from verse 13. This is an astounding revelation. God is not impressed by human power, wealth, or wisdom, but he is impressed by the human heart. When a man or a woman chooses contrition, the Father tells all heavens to be quiet. Our prayers never have more power than when we take our proper place before him. Our humble example can influence the generations to come from verse 25. Manasseh had a grandson named Josiah, who was a child sparked, as a child, he sparked a nationwide revival. I like to imagine that Josiah heard firsthand from his grandfathers the horrors of rebellion and the grace of humility. Our life's lessons can become the seed that springs up 30, 60, and 100 fold in the lives of those who follow. These are more than interesting Old Testament stories. They are postures of the heart. They are examples. Jesus embodied the life of humility before the Father. It worked out pretty well for him. He demonstrated that the humble path leads to glory, a glory unimagined by the wisdom of men. So even more than Manasseh, Jesus modeled the way of humility. Consider Paul's magnificent description of the humble way. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus, who being in, very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:6-11. Humility is the doorway to God's kingdom. What is whispered in the Old Testament is shouted in the New. Humility is the doorway to God's kingdom. Humility spared Manasseh's life. It was the way of life for Jesus. It is no less the way for us. Many believers are surprised to learn that there is something we can all do to bring the grace of God into our lives. We can humble ourselves. But the opposite is true. Our pride can block the grace of God. This means that among the enemies of grace, human pride hides the deepest in our souls, because God's grace meets us in our weakness. We think grace will expose us as frauds, when all the while grace flows ever stronger toward the humble in heart. It's so easy to step across the border from truth and enter into arrogance, to label those in, you know, who cannot see the truth as fools. Before we know it, we have crossed into enemy territory. Even while we congratulate ourselves on being right all along, grace understands that merely knowing the truth is not enough. Along with our knowledge, we need to be a grace-filled people. The problem with knowing it all is the tendency to judgment. Even a smarty like the Apostle Paul recognized knowledge puffs up from 1 Corinthians 8:1. Sometimes the most insightful people appear uncaring and cold, like an oncologist who diagnoses the cancer, but misses the human being standing before him. Insight is never enough. The line between insight and judgment is drawn by grace. Pride has 1,000 faces, but always the same dreary aim: to make more of ourselves and less of God. Grace exposes our desire to sit on the throne of our own vainglorious private kingdom. Pride is the leaven of the Pharisees. Pride is an enemy of grace. You can't give grace to people you look down upon. You can only give them pity. Pride itself has read the Bible. So pride's solution is false humility. False humility is our attempt to fool God, even though in the very end we are only fooling ourselves. We utter modest things about ourselves that we do not believe. The problem with false humility is that it's false. False humility is the self-abasement. We want others to reject, thus affirming our talent and skill. C.S. Lewis helps us guard against false humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself at all. That's what C.S. Lewis said. Pride is always a masquerade. We enter the hall wearing a mask. We receive the praise of men, knowing all along that we look nothing like the costume we wear. Pride leads to the kind of hypocrisy in which we keenly discern the flaws of others because we are haunted by our own. It makes us seem bigger than we are and deflates those around us because we detest the lies we tell ourselves. We try to expose the same lies in others. We hide the very flaws that he is willing to love. The church fathers warned us. Possessions lead to pride. In modern times, we pretend to joke, he who dies with the most toys wins. The ancients remind us that knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. In modern times, we actually believe knowledge is power. It's not. It leads to pride. Pride leads us to pray. I thank you that I am not like other men, right? Pride cannot see beyond itself. Pride whispers that if we must accept grace, then we should have it all. Pride is a miser that hoards the grace of God. Pride hoards the grace of God as if our sin were so great we could consume heaven's full supply of grace, when in fact our sins are, you know, are common to all mankind. Pride causes us to see grace as a zero-sum game, as if God's kindness to others means less grace for us. But grace is not of this world. It's not scarce. Grace is the stuff of the age to come. Pride harms us deeply. Grace heals us utterly. Is it any wonder that God resists the proud? We should be the kind of people who humble ourselves. On the other hand, if we do not humble ourselves, we may just find out God is opposing us. I'm not sure what that looks like, but I'm pretty sure it's not a good thing. So tonight I invite you to take an inventory of your heart. A humble heart paves the way for greater grace. A prideful heart does the opposite. Which one describes your heart? What do you think about that?
I think that it's very interesting in the fact that a lot of the same terminology that you were using was exactly what came out of the devotional tonight, and that wasn't planned at all. But it certainly did dovetail with, you know, the puffing up and everything like that. It's very interesting.
Well, I don't know what you're going to do on your side. You don't necessarily know what I'm doing over here with this. So they just kind of all play in all the time. But guess what? That's God at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting it on the line. Mm-hmm. But with everything that's going on in the world around us, it's very important to take note and realize what it is that we're all seeing and how we're responding to things, especially with, you know, everything that's going on right now, right?
Absolutely.
The only thing I can say, folks, is if you're not right with God, it's time to get right. It's past time to get right. Right? You're an overdue library book with like $1 million fine or something.
Oh, wow.
You know, you're the overdue library book you've had since you were in the, like, third grade. I mean, that's almost what it seems like, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get serious about getting right. With the way that the world is and the things that are going on, the way that Christians are under persecution, the way that, you know, there's so many things going on around us that just scream, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And in the end, we know what the end result is, but we've got to figure out what we can do to find peace in the world that we're in right now. And God wants to give you that, but only if you're willing to accept it, right?
Exactly.
You've got to turn your life over to God and give your life to God and, you know, accept the gift that he wants to give you. I mean, I don't know how many people are listening to the show that, you know, maybe sitting there thinking about, what is this whole God thing? You know, is this something I should do? Yes, it's something that you should do. It's something that God gives you the opportunity to do every day. That's what he wants you to do the most, is turn your life over to him. Be willing to turn from that sin. Be willing to accept that Jesus Christ died for you and was buried and rose again to pay the price for that. And pray, just say a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you. Nobody special has to do it for you. You can do it in your car. You can do it in your room. You can do it wherever you are. Just say this simple prayer. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. What's some of the most important things they can do if they just prayed that prayer for the first time?
Get a Bible.
That's right. Get yourself a Bible. Start reading it cover to cover. If you know, the King James Version's excellent version. There's also NIV version, which is basically turned into modern day language. It's easier for you to read and follow and understand without the these and thous. Mary Beth, you know, she's got the NIV version. I've got NIV, and I love my study Bibles and my, you know, King James Version Bibles. So I'm kind of all over the place with them with what I use. What's something else they can do?
Join a Bible-based church.
That's right. Get involved in a church that teaches on the Word. Get in that small group too, right?
That's right.
Start talking with like-minded people. Start learning how to pray. Prayer is just talk. There's no special sauce, no formula. Talking to God. Pray about everything that's going on in the world today. Pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places, so that more people start to follow a path and get to know him better. Pray for the government. The Bible says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, right?
Really, really, really.
So upon giving to Caesar what is Caesar's, pray for your government. That's what the Bible says. Pray for him to shine his light in all the dark spaces.
It can't hurt.
Oh, it definitely is not going to hurt. But, you know, I've said all along since starting this show, 146 episodes now, right? Yes. Wow, we've been doing it a while, haven't we?
Yes.
Was that like 2.5 years?
Probably.
Something like that. You know, this show started as a need to get information out there during the times of COVID. Well, people were really unsure about things. People were really unsure about what was happening in the political landscape of things in the world and in this country. And then there were so many questions, and that's how this show was born, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love doing it every week. I do. I know you do too. But take some of the things we, you know, listen to the podcast later on, write down those scriptures, look those scriptures up, start digging into it. I find that there's a deeper meaning in things when you read things for yourself and let it impress on you. You know, I tell people, and I've said it on this show, you know, take the Bible literal. Take it at its word. Just like we discussed several weeks ago, we were talking about the book of Revelation again. Take it literal. But we really appreciate everybody joining us this week. We hope everybody will join us again next week as we wrap up this series on grace. If you want to reach out to us, send us an email, christianpolititalk@gmail.com. We'll leave you with a little commercial here at the end. But in the meantime, everybody stay safe. Everybody have a great weekend. You got any final thoughts over there tonight?
Pray for those who you don't know what their road is.
Well, there's plenty of that, right?
Yes.
That's right. You never know what one little prayer you say, and Mary Beth both do this all the time, we both do, we'll see a fire truck or an ambulance or a police car. And, you know, and we're praying that help arrives when it needs to arrive and to keep those going to give help safe, right?
Absolutely.
Prayer does wonderful things. keep the prayers going, keep praying about everything, and we will see you guys right here next week, next Thursday night. Everybody have a great weekend.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLK, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak the name.
Sound Image Productions.